One day, when Jesus and his disciples were on their way somewhere, a man came running towards them. He fell to his knees in front of Jesus and asked what he should do to have eternal life. Jesus asked the man if he knew about the commandments in the Holy Scripture and if he kept those commandments, like not stealing and not lying and so on. The man then replied that yes, he did. He had kept all the commandments since he was young. Then Jesus looked lovingly at him and said, "One thing you are still missing. Go away, sell all that you have, and give it to the poor, and you shall receive treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me." It was quite an invitation. Treasure in heaven, eternal life, and to follow Jesus. But amazingly, the man wasn't happy. On the contrary, he was sad. He got up and went sorrowfully away. The man was very rich, so selling everything he owned and giving it to the poor, that was too much for him. Jesus looked at his disciples and said to them, "It is difficult for someone who owns much to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were shocked by what he said, but Jesus spoke again and said, "Children, how hard is it for those who rely on riches to enter the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." Then they were even more horrified, saying to each other, "Who can then be saved?" But Jesus looked at them, saying, "For men it is impossible, but not for God. Anything is possible for God." Peter thought about it. Then he said to Jesus, "What about us? We've left everything and followed you." Jesus smiled at Peter and answered, "Truly I say to you, anyone who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for my name's sake and for the sake of the gospel shall receive 100-fold back again. In this life he shall receive houses, brothers, sisters, mothers, children and lands, and the world to come, eternal life."
Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your goodness. And we thank you that one of the things that you do in us, possibly one of the most significant things you do in us as we turn to you, is that in your kindness, you pour out your Holy Spirit into us that we might both know you but also live for you. And you produce in us goodness. And so we pray this morning that you would encourage us in this and that we might learn some more about what it is to know your goodness but also to share that goodness with others. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it would help you if you have a Bible on your device, if you open it to Luke chapter 18. That's where we're going to focus in on this morning. We're continuing this series in looking at the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And so this morning we think about what goodness is. I wondered if we did a little survey this morning, if we asked the question, which of these, of those things that are listed in that reading from Galatians, which of these would you want the most to be shown in your life? What you would put your hand up to? I suspect goodness might not be one of those that we put our hand up and ask for or suggest. Maybe it's because we already think that we're basically good. In fact, most people in life today think that they're good. And most people are, to some extent, good. I don't know many people who I would describe as being evil or even bad people. Most of us think of ourselves like that, don't we? I'm a good person. And there's a kind of distortion of the Christian message that is all about if you're good enough, you will get to eternal glory. What that little girl, Andrea is her name, was talking about, you know, what is going to be your reward. If you're good enough, you can earn your way into heaven. Many people have that misunderstanding that that's what the Christian message is about. It's just about being good. But of course, the Christian message is that actually none of us is good. We all fall short of the glory of God. Paul writes in the letter to the Romans, we all fall short. None of us is good. We are all sinners in need of a Saviour. And yet, we're called to be people who show forth goodness. The trouble is, what does good mean? It's a word that has been somewhat devalued in our culture. It's a word that we might get confused by. Look at the many different ways in which good is used. So we say, you might have said it this morning when you saw people, good morning. It's a kind of interesting thing to say. What are we saying when we say that? Are we wishing that for one another? Or are we making a statement of fact? It is a good morning. I feel good today. The weather is good. Not. What do we mean when we say that? Good morning or good night? Or how about good news? It's good news. Good is something that is beneficial to me. I heard good news about that job that I applied for. Or we look at someone on the dance floor and we say, they're a good dancer. And we might mean that they're talented. Or if you've got a pet, particularly of the dog variety, we might say when the dog does what we want it to do, we will say good boy or good girl, i.e. you're well behaved. Or we might say good work or good job, good as in you did that to a high standard. Thank you for doing it. And if that's right, if those are right, good explanations of what Paul says should be seen in us, then it's probably not very helpful or accurate, because what we should be about isn't just about being good or being good enough, but being great. That's what God wants in us. He wants us to be great, not just good enough, if we go by those standards that I've just referred to. But maybe Paul means something completely different. What if the Bible, God, is calling us to be seen as being good in a way that's a wee bit different? Now, the word that is used of goodness all over Scripture, and only used in Scripture, is this Greek word that is pronounced agathosyn. Agathosyn. It's a word that's unique, and it means this. It means that being upright of life and heart. Being upright of life and heart. In other words, it's being good outwardly in what we do and being good inwardly in our thought life and in our life, in our head, in our private life. So it's an outward and an inward thing. And of course, what we often mean by being good is that it's just the outward sign. We want to be seen to be good. Fascinating, during lockdown, people's attempts to try and be obviously good. You see it sometimes if you ever go online into social media. People do this thing called virtue signaling. You know, they'll say the right thing. They'll say the thing that seems to be the right thing to say, so that we all go, oh, they're such a good person. Trouble is, we're all cynical now, and we go, actually, that's just virtue signaling. They just want to be heard or seen to be saying the right thing. And we stress that, don't we? We say, outwardly, that's how we want to be seen. We want to be seen as being good people. So a good way for us to get hold of this whole subject is to look at that incident of Jesus meeting with the ruler, the rich young ruler. So we're going to look at, it's found in three of the Gospels. It's found in Matthew and Mark and Luke. But we're going to look at the Luke version and the word that's used there for good that the young ruler uses is the same word. It's a variant of agathosyne, but it's found in each version. So there are four things maybe that we would draw out from this story this morning that might help us. So let's just go over it. We're just going to open up the scripture again and just go over the story again. Andrea told us the story on the video that we just watched. But if you turn to Luke 18 and these verses, these are where we're going to focus. So a certain ruler asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. Honor your father and your mother." And the young man says, "All these I've kept since I was a boy." When Jesus heard this, he said to him, "You still lack one thing. Sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." When he heard this, he became very sad because he was very wealthy. Now, Jesus is not saying here, let's be clear, he's not saying here that being wealthy in itself is wrong or a sin. He's saying what you do with your wealth is what matters. And actually, if you need to be prepared to give it away, to share it out. My friends, my wealthy friends, a number of them are committed to making as much money as possible in this life, but to give away as much as possible in this life as well. They make money in order to give it away. They seem to have found the right way to handle it. And that's the point. The young man in question is struggling because he's not prepared to do that. He's prepared to do all the right things outwardly, to do all the religious things, to go to synagogue, to go to chapel, to be seen to be religious, to follow the law, but he's not prepared to do the thing that actually is the most important thing, the thing that controls them, the thing that has a hold on him is his money, is his stuff, are his things. That's what controls him, and he's not prepared to give it up. And so Jesus challenges that. So there are four things to draw out this morning that from this story that Jesus experiences with the rich young ruler. First of all, let's learn this lesson. God is good. It's the starting point. It's great, isn't it? I love my African friends when they say God is good, and they always say God is good. All the time, God is good. And it's a great reminder. And I first time I heard that in person in Africa, I was in this church in Zambia, and these were amongst the poorest, certainly up until that point, they were the poorest people I had ever spent time with in my life. Many of them had nothing. And yet, when the minister said, "God is good," with great joy, they shouted out all the time, "God is good." And we sometimes forget that. We forget God's goodness. God is good. Everything we are, everything we have, God is good. And we see that goodness ultimately in the giving of Jesus, his only Son, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, John 3:16. So much does he love us. Each person here, each person watching online is so loved by God. He is good to you. He cares for you. That little video was interesting because that sometimes people take the idea of God will give you 100 times what you give away, and they turn it into what's called the prosperity gospel. You give in order to get. The whole point is you don't give in order to get. God did not give his only Son in order to get anything from it. He did it in order to restore us into relationship, to bring us into a new relationship. He did it all for us. That's the point of his giving. He wants us more than anything in the universe. We are precious to him. We are his creations. We are made in his image. He sends his son for us. And so that's how we see God as good. See, you see what Jesus says? Why do you call me good? Jesus answered. He's not telling him off. No one is good except God alone. He's making a very clear declaration. No one is good except God alone. And Jesus, of course, is God. It's a great picture being offered there. So God is good. And we clearly see the source of all goodness in us, God himself. So whenever we are good, it's because we are made in the image of God and we are showing something of the image of God to other people. What a beautiful picture. No doubt you've been watching the Olympics when you've had an opportunity to do that. Our coverage this time in the United Kingdom has sadly been a bit lacking. But there's been some wonderful testimonies during the Olympics. Did you see, I think it was the Fijian rugby sevens. Did you see what they did when they were at the end of the game? They just thanked God for his goodness to them, down on their knees. An amazing picture. And then there was this young woman. Her name is Sydney McLaughlin. What an amazing person she is. A young Christian woman. And she's a hurdler. She ran the 400 meters hurdles, and she managed to get a world record. She runs for the United States of America. And she gave a testimony at when she'd won her gold medal. And it's just beautiful what she said. She put it on her Instagram feed on social media. You all know what Instagram is, don't you? It's like Facebook for young people, basically. And she said this. We've got a slide that will come up. You won't be able to read it off the slide, I think. You'll be able to read it if you're watching online. But she said this, and she spelled it wrong. It was obviously done quite quickly, so she's got lots of mistakes in it. And she spells honour wrong, as Americans do. She said this: "Let me start off by saying what an honour it is to be able to represent not only my country, but also the kingdom of God." And she said this: "What I have in Christ is far greater than what I have or I don't have in life. I pray my journey may be a clear depiction of submission and obedience to God. Even when it doesn't make sense, even when it doesn't seem possible, he will make a way out of no way. Not for my own gratification, but for his glory. I have never seen God fail in my life, in anyone's life for that matter. Just because I may not win every race or receive every one of my heart's desires does not mean God has failed. His will is perfect. And he has prepared me for a moment such as this, that I may use the gifts he has given me to point all the attention back to him." And then she writes, "Two times Olympian, Olympic champion, world record holder." And then she says, "Thank, full stop, you, full stop, God, full stop, praying hands." What a beautiful testimony. Makes me, when I read it, I'm welling up now just reading it. She is so conscious, even through the difficult times of training to be Olympian, the failures, the not managing, she wants, and she, to get to the point she's in, she wants to just focus on God's goodness. And she describes God's will as being perfect, his good and perfect will. That's a great biblical expression. You see, God is always good. That's the meaning of the saying. Do we trust in that? Do we believe that? Whatever's going on in your life, do you believe that that is the case? Because it's true. God is good. And any goodness that we show flows, it flows from God's goodness to us. So as God is good to us as a church, as God is good to us as individuals, that flows out from us and we point to a loving God. So God is good, that's the first thing. Second thing, let's be upright in life. Jesus says to the rich young ruler, he says this, you know the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not commit murder, you shall not steal, you shall not give false testimony, honor your father and your mother. You see, a good person will live a good life, where right living is defined by being obedient to the commandments, to all of the commandments of God, doing what is right and not doing what is wrong. This is pure moral, upright living. Now, the reality is all of us make mistakes, don't we? All of us get things wrong. Every single person in this room, every single person watching at home does wrong stuff. I want to confess my sins to you this morning. Do you mind if I do this? You'd be shocked. I need to tell you that I have broken the law and been caught, and I'm about to be punished for it by the system, or as I like to call the system, the man. Because while we were on holiday, I did that terrible thing of speeding in our fast car and was caught by a speeding camera. Anybody else been in this situation? So I thought we'd do a little test. How many people have got 3 points on their license? How many people have got 6 points on their license? I tell the story, the first time this ever happened to me, so it's not the first time I've been bad in this respect. I was mortified by it, and I was mortified this time, and Ali had to persuade me not to punish myself and ruin the whole holiday by punishing myself. But the first time I did it, I felt I needed to resign from my role as a church leader, and I went to the vestry and said I'm resigning because I've been done for speeding. And the vestry all looked at each other, and one of them said, well, I've got 3 points, another one said I've got six, and one said I've got 9 points on my license. So we all took that really seriously and sort of upped our game after that, and made sure that we didn't speed, at least for a little while. So I confess that to you. If you demand my resignation, I will understand it. The point is this. We all get things wrong. We all do things wrong. We all make mistakes. But the calling upon us is to try and be upright in our life and to be seen to do that. There are many people in life who see kindness and goodness as being the same thing. But that isn't really the case. A person can be kind to others without actually being good inside. And an example of that would be when a person believes they are doing a kindness to someone by telling them a lie so they don't get hurt. But a truly good person will never tell a lie, even if it did cause hurt to the other person. So being good, therefore, might lead to ridicule and maybe even hatred and persecution. So we have to have this upright life. We need to show it to the world, and we need to be very, very determined to do that. And sadly, we in the church sometimes don't do this very well. You know, we all make mistakes, and we all get it wrong, but some of us are determined to not do good. We see it sometimes in the life of churches. And I had a call yesterday. A friend of mine called me up to ask for some advice about something. A minister friend who's in the Church of Scotland. And we ended up, it was supposed to be a quick 10-minute call. An hour and a half later, we were still talking. Because basically, in the church that he's in, people are behaving badly towards the minister. And without going into details, it sounds horrendous. It just sounds terrible that is the case, that people are behaving so they're not being good, and people are gossiping, and people are telling stories, and people are being subversive, and people are attacking not just the minister but other people within the life of the church. And it's heartbreaking to hear that. It's rather like that book by Adrian Plass, which is called Looking Good, Being Bad. That we, on the outside, we want to look good, but actually what's going on inside isn't very good, which takes us on to the third thing, which is this: we need to be upright in our heart. See, Jesus goes on to tell the rich young ruler, you still lack one thing, sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. So goodness is a heart attitude. It's not just the outward, it's what's going on in here. It's what's going on in our heart and our head. It means to be truly good, we must always be thinking of the needs of others, and so we'll always be putting others first. You know, let's just think about this practically at the moment. We're going to be in a situation shortly, likely, where we're at the end of the pandemic. It's all over, trademark. You know, it's all over. It's all done. It's all finished. At least that's how some of us will feel and think. And hopefully things are moving in the right direction and we'll be able to open things up again. We'll be able to have seats and we'll be able to function again. But there will be some of us who maybe are a little bit more hesitant and want to be a little bit more careful and want space still to be respected. So we're going to be in this situation where some of us are, let's get masks off, let's just get on with it because we're immortal now because we've double vaxxed and nothing can harm us anymore. And some of us will be gung-ho and positive like that. And others of us will be saying, well, it's not quite, I'm watching the numbers every day and I'm a little bit nervous about what's happening. Please don't come too close to me and I'm still going to wear a mask. Don't laugh at me because I'm still wearing a mask. And that, we have to respect that, don't we? Not just respect it, but part of God's goodness in us will be that we will honour one another for the different stances that we are taking. We might not agree with one another, but we'll be able to bear with one another through that. Will we make a commitment today to do that and to be that as we work out how we're going forward from here? See, it's an attitude of heart. We make a choice about how we're going to respond to one another. We'll put one another first. We'll be ready and willing to do this. So be upright in your heart. The last thing is this, and it's about following Jesus. Follow Jesus. That's basically what Jesus tells the young man. He calls the rich young ruler to come follow me. Give everything away and then you can come and follow me. The thing that dominates you and controls you, repent of that, surrender that as you need to do. And then come and follow me. Jesus knew what was going on in his heart, that this would be a big ask. Because this guy could come on the outward side, appear to be following Jesus, but actually inside, I've got my fallback position over here, where I've still got all my savings, all my money available to me. And Jesus knew that would be a problem for him. The young man was going to have divided loyalties. And Jesus knows that we will only be able to truly live the life that he wants for us, this eternal life, when we choose to follow him. So that means we have to get right with God. We have to recognize that we are not good, that we sin, that we get it wrong, that we seek forgiveness. You know, when we get it wrong, one of the things that we can do is we can let it fester away in us. We've made a mistake. We've been caught out. We've been caught making a mistake. I'm going to beat myself up for that and destroy myself. Well, we pay the consequence of it, but we need to move on as well and receive forgiveness for it. We need to do that with one another. It's a sign of our goodness. When someone wrongs you, what are you to do to them? You forgive them. You have to forgive them in order to show goodness and to move on. And we need to put God, Jesus, first in all that we do. It's very easy to pay lip service to this. It's slightly inconvenient now when we call Jesus Lord. People don't like that because we don't like the idea of people having status above us. There are some people who want to remove the House of Lords because we don't think that people should be in that privileged position. And yet, biblically, we have this idea of Jesus as Lord. We have to submit to him. We should put him first. That makes us countercultural to a large extent. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. We don't like it. That's why some people are sort of being a bit stroppy through the pandemic because we've got the government telling us what to do. And we don't like it because a lot of us have grown up in a culture where nobody is the boss of me. Nobody gets to tell me what to do. A Scottish person's house is their castle. I am what I am. I do what I want when I want. So when someone tells us, you need to do this and we're going to make it the law, we react against that. Well, actually, let's just put that into our context of following Jesus. Jesus tells us how to live, who we're to be, how we're to be with one another. He doesn't make suggestions to us. He doesn't say, if you feel like it today, be good. He says, be good. That's what we are to do. We are to show forth the love of God. It's like a command. And why is it a command? It's because Jesus is Lord. He's not just Savior, He's Lord. And so we are called to follow Him and to put Him first in all that we do. Matthew 6, verse 33 would be the verse to go to for that. And we're to trust in His presence with us at all times. Remember what Jesus said at the end of the Gospel of Matthew 28:20, and I am with you even to the end of the age. Whatever happens next, Jesus is with us. When we follow Him, when we become His disciples, He has promised to live in us and be with us through the power of His Holy Spirit. When we become His disciples, then He commits, when we commit ourselves to walk with Him, to talk like Him, to live with Him, to live like Him, which means by the help and the power of the Holy Spirit, we live an upright life with an upright heart. And then everybody around us shall see goodness flowing from us. So let's make that commitment today. Let's make that commitment to follow Jesus, to recognize that God is good, to be upright outwardly in how we live our life and to be upright inwardly in how we think and where our heart is. And my guess today is that all of us here and online need God's help to do that. This is tricky. We live in a tricky world and we live in a tricky time. The danger going forward is that we will be difficult with one another and we will fail to show God's goodness to one another. I worry about that. I worry that we won't demonstrate that to one another. If we don't demonstrate it to one another, we'll find it hard to demonstrate it to a needy world. So how we need the power of the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, to be in us today, to be shining from us today. So we're going to respond to God's word now, if you feel like doing this. I just want to pray for us all today, this morning, that we might show God's goodness to one another and to a needy world, and to ask for a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit, that we might show forth this fruit to the world. So if you're comfortable with this, let's stand together. If you're not comfortable with it, that's fine. And because we're all going to be good at the end of this, nobody's judging one another. So just if you feel comfortable, just stand and we're going to pray together that God would enable us and equip us and show the fruit of the Spirit that is goodness to one another and to the world. Let's pray. Father, what an amazing thing it is that you produce good fruit in people as we surrender our hearts and our minds to you. Pour out your Holy Spirit on each of the people that are here today and watching at home. Pour out your Holy Spirit that we might show forth your goodness. Pour out your Holy Spirit that we might receive forgiveness as we turn away from our sin. All of us fall short of your glory and have got things wrong. Please forgive us again, not because of our goodness, but because we recognize our need for salvation. Thank you for Jesus, who on the cross bore our sins and the sins of the world. And help us to walk in ways that are upright, outwardly, that we might show forth in what we say and what we do, goodness, your goodness. So that when we do good stuff, it's not because we want to be seen to be doing good stuff. We do good stuff because we're showing that we are made in your image and we're pointing to you. And then help us to have integrity so that what we do outwardly is also going on inside as well. That it's deep rooted, that we know your goodness and that we are good in ourselves, in our hearts and minds. So transform us, Lord. We cannot do this in our own strength. We cannot do it in our own power. We need your help. Help us, Lord, to follow you today with integrity and with love. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.